join with the others for thanking everybody being out with us this evening, and especially if you consider yourself visitor. I know this is a foreign concept for me to be wearing this thing this afternoon, but I have a small reason for having this evening, so as we go through, you'll understand why. Again, appreciate everyone being out here this evening, and appreciate the prayers on my behalf. And as we go through the lesson, the things that we're going to study will be very clear to you once we get to that point. I told Daryl I was bringing props this evening, so we'd have an entertaining evening this afternoon. So as we get into the lesson, all this stuff will be made clear as we get into that. You know, when we're getting ready for the day, somewhere in part of our routine for the morning is there's a mirror involved. No matter what time it is when we decide we get up in the morning, when we start our day, some point real quick after we get up in the morning, there's a mirror involved. Whether when we get up, we get up, we brush our teeth, we take a shower, we wash our face, we check how much our hair is all messed up, how we laid crooked over the night, if I need to shave or not. Ladies, whether or not you decide you want to use makeup today, how much, where, whatever the case. Then we go to how much we want to wear, what we want to wear. We get dressed, what are we wearing, is it clean, is it wrinkled? On and on and on. There's countless things we look at in the morning that we just get up, do these things, and take them for granted. We want to make ourselves presentable for the day. If we're going to church or you're going to work or to school, you probably spend a little bit more time getting ready than if you just stay at home during the day. The ladies might spend a little more time on their makeup, straighten up their hair a little bit better. You know, us men, we just have to deal with what God gave us and make the best of our choice. That's all we can do with it, not much else. The point is that if we're going to go out in public, we want to have our appearances look the best we can, to make an extra effort in our appearances for not just what we see, but what others see and what impression we make to those around us. So how's my look this morning, you know, or this evening? Well, you know, as usual, the hair's thinning. I don't have a beard, and I shaved this morning, and I don't worry about 5 o'clock shadow. On the other hand, if I'm not going to go out in public much, And I glance in the mirror. Today, it looks like I hadn't shaved in days. This is usually Wednesday morning. If I haven't shaved in days, my hair's standing up in the back. Well, I use a little water to put that down. And I'll run my fingers through it and straighten up my part just to get things ready. And I don't worry about shaving. And I throw on a ball cap. There, my hair is perfect now. I got a shadow on the face. I'm not worried about shaving. My hair is great because I don't see it. My hair is covered up. It looked good enough to put a ball cap on it. That's all it mattered to. Let's get the ball cap on it. Here we go through the day. I throw on this ball cap and I'm good for the day. Not much effort or attention is taken. I just brush my teeth, wash my face, comb, flatten the hair, throw the ball cap on, and I'm gone. As long as my ball cap hides what I see, I don't need to remember what it looked like. And you may be wondering, well, where is he going with all of this stuff? You know, of course, since I'm retired, this is an everyday dress code for us at the house, for me at the house. So as we begin the true part of the lesson this morning, or this evening, we're going to look at the looking glass. In James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, here scripture says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, it doesn't make any difference if I'm getting all fixed up to go out or if I just glance in the mirror and not go anywhere. As soon as I leave that mirror, I forget what I look like. I forget whether the hair is straight, there's something standing up in the back, whether I need a shave, my shirt's wrinkled, got grease stains on the front, whatever the case may be. As soon as I leave that mirror, that image in my mind is faded away. And that's the implication here in these verses, that we look at or we hear God's word and then we shut it up and we go on. We don't pay any attention to what is said. We don't pay any attention for what we read, and we don't gain any teaching from it. We just look at it, we glance at it, and we go on. If we're just a hearer of the word, not a doer, we're likened to the story that if I'm not going out in public, I look into the mirror, I look into God's word, I hear God's word, but I don't really meditate it and look at it, and I don't put it to use in my life. It's like I see my hair standing up, I need a shave. But once I throw on that ball cap, that's as far as it goes. I don't worry about it anymore. And that's the way Scripture is for us. If we just look at it, glance at it, and out the door, then we don't think on it much after that. You know, however, if I am a doer as well as a hearer, it's like if I'm coming to church or I'm going to work, I spend more time making myself presentable. So I spend more time in looking at it, hearing it, meditating on it, and then trying to do what I read in Scripture. Instead of putting on that cap and forgetting it, well, I fix my hair and I shave, then I try to bring God's teachings with me everywhere I go, and I let them guide my path. Looking into the perfect law of liberty, here is the perfect law of liberty. When we look into the perfect law of liberty, like looking into that mirror, what do we see? When I look into God's word as the perfect law of liberty, what's the reflection that I see in that mirror? You know, we should see Jesus, because that's what we're supposed to be striving to do, is be more Christ-like. You know, but when I look into that mirror, it starts to push me to be a better person and a better example of a believer. Because I take that word, God's word, I really look at it, and I meditate on it, and it motivates me to work on myself, but to also want to share it with others. Now, it's not something that I just look at or hear and then go my way and shut the book and forget about it, like putting on my ball cap, but looking into the perfect law of liberty shows all my faults. Just as my hair is standing up, my clothes are wrinkled, I need a shave. Well, looking into the perfect law of liberty shows all my spiritual faults, but it also gives me a path to work on improving those faults. Just like looking into the mirror shows me the physical faults, I need to work on being presentable. Looking into the perfect law of liberty shows me my spiritual faults that I need to work on day to day to be presentable to God. I see the basis for my Christian life where I fall short in following God's word. When I look into God's word and I compare my life to that reflection I see from God's word, then I see my faults in the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. We are to love God and we are to love others just as much as we love God. You know, I don't have a verse written for this, but, you know, God says you can't love me and say you hate mankind. That's just not the way the world works. So we're to love others just as much as we love God. And then we show that love by the way we act to others. Not be high-minded, hateful, uncaring. It's that love for God that has to be a guiding light in our lives. Every interaction, everything we say or do needs to be motivated by the love that we have for God. My reflection, how I see myself in God's Word, should show that same love. Should show that same love. But I think a lot of the time, my reflection doesn't truly show what I see in the mirror of God's Word. What do I see in the mirror of God's Word? First, we need to frequently examine ourselves and our actions and what motivates those actions. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 simply says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So in examining ourselves in the mirror of God's Word, really what I should see in that reflection is Jesus. We are to become more and more Christ-like. But you know, I have several things of what I see when I look into the Scriptures. One of the things that I see when I look into my reflection in the Scriptures is sometimes I tend to speak without listening first. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. James chapter 1 verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So we can see through God's Word, as James 1:19 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Well, I get that confused a lot of the times. I'm swift to speak and slow to hear. And then that gets into trouble and leads to trouble. You know, when we're talking with one another, whatever the case is, whether it's work-related, family-related, anything along those lines, we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. You know, one of the other things I see in my reflection, you know, and the things that I'm talking about here, just be a few of them. And by no means is it an exhaustive list. And what you see in your reflection is going to be different than what I see in my reflection, because we all have things we need to work on. Being a fair-weather Christian or a Sunday-only Christian, only when it's convenient. Psalms chapter 122, verse number 1, says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, worshiping God is a frame of mind, a willful choice, an attitude that we should have, that I'm going to worship God every opportunity that arises. Just as the verse in Psalms here up above says, that I was glad when they said to me, that let's go to the house of the Lord. That's the attitude we need to have for worshiping God. You know, not so much nowadays, but you know, when you're first joining the church or when you're working all the time or things like that, then you get home late from work, you don't want to go to church, you got something going on, you don't want to go to church. Church is the place we need to be, no matter what else it is, because that's the place we get renewed, reinvigorated in this life. Worshiping God has to be a frame of mind that we choose to be there each and every opportunity that we can. How can we provoke to love and good works or encourage others and be encouraged when we're not here? You know, it's a simple deal for us to be able to encourage others or be encouraged. We have to be here to be part of that situation. Getting angry easily, and this is something I've faced through years and years, and Brenda still gets a wrath of it today. James chapter 1 verse 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. You know, so if you're slow to anger, then you're ruling your spirit. You're controlling your spirit instead of just flying off at the handle. I'm a master at flying off on the handle. You know, when we allow ourselves to give in to anger, it changes our focus from what's needful for others. Scripture tells us, look out on the things of others more than ourselves. It changes our mindset to where it's not just about somebody else, it's about me and my feelings are hurt. So we need to work on that, and that's something I try to work on all the time. And it's a constant battle. But these are things that we need to look at. And let's say my list and my reflections are going to be different than your list. Neglecting studying. You know, we have Bibles laying in the house. We have the Bible on your app on the phone. You have a Bible on the computer, on the iPad, whatever you want. And yet a lot of times it's laying there collecting dust. John chapter 5, verse 39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So John says, search the scriptures. You know, we go back to the text of the verses that we started with. If we're just a hearer of the word, that we just look at it and glance at it and go on, then we're not searching the scriptures. We're just kind of putting our ball cap on, going on out in public, and don't worry about it. We're to study to show thyself approved unto the congregation of the church. That's not what it says. We're to study to show thyself approved unto God, that we are a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we do it to be approved of God, and we do it to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. If we don't search the scriptures, as John says, then how can we rightly divide the word of truth? Or we just take, well, so-and-so said such-such. Hey, that sounds good. Barry talked a little bit about that this morning. We can't take what somebody else says. We have to know what God's word says, and then we can figure out if somebody says something, whether that's true or not. Weak faith. James chapter 2, starting verse 14, says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What does it profit if we have a brother or sister who's naked and destitute of daily food, and they come to you for help, and you put your arm around them and say, man, I really sympathize with you. I know you really got a bad time going. Well, I sure hope somebody helps you out. And you just push them on out the door. What does Scripture say? What doth it profit? It doesn't profit them anything. It doesn't profit us anything. The same way it is for our faith. If we say, yeah, I have faith, but I don't do anything with it. Yeah, I believe in God, but I used to be there. I believe in God, but I don't do anything with it. What doth it profit? Dead, it's dead, being alone. And a man says, thou hast faith and I have works. He says, show me thy faith without your works, which can't be done. How can I show somebody, hey, I've got faith. How can I show you that I have faith without anything to show by how I have faith? He says, I will show thee my faith by my works. These are just a few things that I see in my reflection and looking into the perfect law of liberty. Some things I have more trouble with than others. They're more brightly in the reflection than others. And there are a great many more that we just don't have time to discuss. You know, when we sit down and examine ourselves, You know, it wouldn't be hard to just go through page after page after page after page after page after page of a legal note to write down all the faults that we have according to God's word. We all have things that we need to work on. We all have a different reflection from God's word that we have. So why is it so important that we need to look into that mirror of God's word? You know, what's the big advantage? Why can't we just kind of glance at it, put our ball cap on, go on, still live a life, think, and claim that, well, I'm a Christian and I have faith, but then I'll put the ball cap on and I go on out in the world and I live any way I want to live? What advantage is that to us at all? It would offer us nothing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23 says, many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, here we have Christians, or at least religious people, claiming that we've done many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus says, hey, I don't know who you are. You may have done many wonderful works, but it wasn't in my name, you know. So I don't know who you are. Just depart. Any works we have to do according to God's word, and done out of love to be approved of God. You know, it's not about, well, what's approved to Ken. It's about what God approves. Any works we do have to be according to God's word, done out of love to be approved of God. So what are some of the life-changing attributes we can see in our lives by looking into that perfect law of liberty? You know, we know that by us looking into that, we see our faults, and it should be something we work on daily. So what are some of the attributes we can see? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The New King James Version in this verse says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we behold ourselves in the mirror of the Lord, we look at the mirror of the Lord, and I'm supposed to be transforming myself into the mirror of the Lord, not into the reflection of Ken. And that's how we handle the life-changing attributes, that we do this, that we submit to God and His will, and we realize that we can't just look at God's word and not do anything about it. It has to be an action. And this verse here references how when Moses came down off the mountain after being in God's presence, that his face was so bright that he had to cover it for the people to even look at him. But now, unlike them then, we can see Jesus as clear as looking into that mirror. If I look in the mirror and I see Jesus Christ through the scriptures, and we can be transformed into the same image. Isn't that what we strive for each and every day, to be more Christ-like in all aspects of our lives? That is accomplished through our obedience to the gospel, and then to continually look into that perfect law of liberty and examining ourselves, and then trying to copy the image we see in that perfect law of liberty. In the context of admonition to new converts, the Ephesian letter tells us about some characteristics that we need to have as well as Christians, not just new converts. Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 22. Here the scripture says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, or former conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You look at this group of verses right here, it's very good admonition of just exactly what we've been talking about. Some of the characteristics that we need to strengthen within our lives, within our reflection into God's word, so that we can be a light to those we come into contact with, that we can be a blessing to those that we come into contact with, and that we can truly be hearers and doers of the word of God. And that's what God expects for us as his children, is to be workers into the kingdom. We can't be workers into the kingdom when we just read and put my ball cap on and go on out in the world and live like I always want to live. That's not the way it's going to get done. We have to be workers in the kingdom. We have to look to God's word for the directions in that and the characteristics we need to have within our lives to continue to grow day by day by day to be more Christ-like. I'll close with one last verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, isn't that what looking into the perfect law of liberty, looking into our reflection into God's word, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, is being transformed by God's word to be able to mold and shape our lives according to what God expects from us, to be able to be gaining more and more like Christ each and every day, that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I leave the lesson with you this evening. I pray the things we've studied are beneficial to you, and I would encourage you to go back and look at the text verses we started in James and just study and meditate on those a little bit, and then go on down through the line of the stuff we've looked at tonight. You know, it's so easy for us as humans. We get busy on the things we have going on in our lives. We think we're too busy to get anything done. It's so easy for us to just read through stuff and not even think about what we read, let alone meditate on and try to apply it. And in God's word, we need to not be that way. We need to slow down, read, understand, and meditate on what God's word says, and then try to put it to use in our lives. Again, I leave the lesson with you. If anyone's subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.